We're looking at Luke chapter 12. We're going to read verses 22 through 34 in just a moment as we talk about worry and how to win the battle over worry. I had a meeting in a town that was unfamiliar to me not too long ago, and I had a meeting in the early morning, so I drove up that night and I parked my car in the parking lot of the hotel, and I woke up the next morning and the whole city, at least the section of the city where I was completely covered with fog. I mean, I could barely find my car in the parking lot. And then I got into my car and I began to drive. And because I didn't really know my way around to begin with, I just had a hard time. Every intersection I came to, I wondered if I was at the right place. I wound up almost missing my destination just because of all of that fog. Now, here's what I've learned. It doesn't take much water to make a whole lot of fog. In fact, about this much water, about one cup of water, is able to cover seven city blocks with 100 feet thick of fog. You take those little molecules of water and begin to spread them out, and they just dissipate and form millions and millions of droplets until a whole landscape can be covered with fog when the amount of water is really not very substantial at all. We could take just a few gallons of water and just pour out fog over the whole Oklahoma City metro. Well, here's what I want to talk to you about today. Worry is very much like fog. It can seem insubstantial. In fact, it can be an insubstantial thing, but it can cause a lot of problems. Worry can keep you from seeing your destination. Worry can wreck your health. Worry can keep you from experiencing what God wants you to experience and keep you from seeing what God wants you to see. And so in so many ways, worry is like that fog. We take something insubstantial and turn it into something through worry that really messes up our lives. That's why so many times the Word of God tells us, do not worry. Over and over again in the Word of God, the Bible says, do not fear. Be not afraid. Do not worry. Be anxious for nothing. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Do not worry. Now, I want you to think about this. Jesus never tells us there's nothing to be worried about. That would not be true. There's plenty to be worried about. Would you agree with me on that today? Plenty of things to be worried about. And you know, if we look at the world around us, we may be worried about COVID. We may be worried about our health. We may be worried about the future. We may be worried about war in Europe. We may be worried about things that are happening with our families. There are all kinds of things to be worried about. And so Jesus never tells us there's nothing to be worried about. He does tell us, do not worry. And here's the good news. As we follow Him and as we trust in Him, He will give us the power to overcome worry in our lives. And that's what we're going to see as we look in the Word of God today. So look with me, Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 22. Let's stand together as we read God's Word. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 22. There the Bible says this, and Jesus said to His disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you being anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek His kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. These are the words of Jesus. Join with me as we pray. Lord God, we love you and praise you and thank you for this good day that you've given us. And Lord God, I pray that you would move me out of the way and Lord, speak a word to your people today. Lord, show us how through you we can overcome worry. We'll give you glory and honor, Lord, for all that you do. For we pray these things in Jesus' holy name. In church, if you agree with that prayer, will you say amen? Amen. You may be seated. I want us to look at this passage of Scripture today. And as we do, I want to talk to you about four reasons that Jesus gives you and me not to worry. Four reasons, maybe four warnings we could call them, four warnings against worry. Here's the first reason Jesus says don't worry. Jesus says don't worry because worry steals your life. Worry steals your life. Look in verses 22 and 23 of our text. Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. Now the word anxious there in the original language means to be torn apart. Jesus says, do not be torn apart. Do not be anxious about your life. The word life there in the Greek language is the word psyche. We get our word psychology from it. It refers many times in the Word of God to the soul. Do not be anxious. Do not be torn apart about your soul, about your life, about how you're going to be taken care of. Now, I want you to notice, God doesn't tell you not to have concern about anything. God doesn't tell you not to care about anything. God doesn't tell you to be irresponsible. But God does tell you, don't be torn up. Don't be anxious about your life and the needs of your life. And here's what the Word of God says as Jesus continues. He says, don't be anxious about your life and what you're going to eat. Don't be anxious about your body and what you're going to put on. Here's why. Your life, your soul is more than food, and your body is more than clothing. You can trust, just as we sang in that song, you can trust God to take care of you. Now, it's very important to note that Jesus was speaking this to his disciples, verse 22. Jesus was speaking to his disciples, the people who followed him most closely. And they followed him and they were really living their lives on the edge. Peter and James and John and Andrew and all the other disciples were really living their life on the edge following Jesus. They didn't know what the next day held. They didn't know where they were going to go. They couldn't make advanced plans. They just went wherever Jesus took them and he took them wherever he wanted them to go. When they ate breakfast, they didn't really know what they were going to have for lunch. And when they had lunch, they didn't know what they were going to have for dinner. And so Jesus said, listen, don't be worried about those things. Instead, trust him to take care of you, because when you start worrying about those things, worry steals your life. It just sucks all of the joy and the power out of your life when you start to worry. Now the truth is, most of us here know where we're going to get our next meal and even what we're going to have for our next meal. How many of you sort of have an idea of what you're going to have for lunch? Say, I do. Yeah, most of us do. How many of you, if you didn't have anything, any money to pay for lunch, if you're going out, you at least know you got something back home in the pantry or in the refrigerator that you can eat? Just say, I do. And there's some single guys here who say, I don't have one saltine cracker at home. Nothing. And so I get that. But most of us have something. We know what we're going to eat for the next meal and probably what we're going to be able to eat next week. Those things are taken care of. If our clothes were suddenly to disintegrate, we've got other clothes that we can change into. And so most of us here aren't worried about the next meal or the clothes that we wear, and yet we still find things to worry about. For most of us here, there's something, and maybe several things in our lives, that we find ourselves worrying about, being overly concerned about, the things that keep us up at night, things that cause us problems with our relationships because of our worry. Worry steals your life. There was a study of about 8,600 people in Great Britain, and they studied people from all types of age groups, 16-year-olds all the way up to 74-year-olds. And here's what the study revealed. Younger people tend to worry about relationships and family more than anything else. People in their middle years usually worry about finances and housing and their careers. People in the older age group tended to worry about, what do you think? Their health. They tended to worry about their health. But people of every age and every stage of life found something to worry about. Here's what Jesus says. In every circumstance, don't worry. Because when you begin to worry, it just takes all of the life out of your life. It steals your life. You may have heard of the paralysis of analysis, when you just start to analyze things so much that it paralyzes you. There's a little poem about the paralysis of analysis. It's called The Centipede's Dilemma. You know a centipede, that little creature that has 100 legs, 100 little feet. And this poem illustrates how the paralysis of analysis can work. Here's the poem. A centipede was happy until a toad in fun said, which leg moves after which? This raised her doubts to such a pitch. She fell exhausted in the ditch, not knowing how to run. She was doing fine until she started analyzing, which foot do I move next? And here's what happens to us. When we start to worry about all the what ifs, the what's next, the what's going to happen, what am I going to do? When we start to worry about all of those things, it steals our life. Worry never makes life better. And Jesus says your life is so much more than the things you worry about. Corrie ten Boom, that great, great Christian who loved the Lord so faithfully and served him during horrific and horrendous times, said this about worry. Corrie ten Boom said, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. You're not going to make tomorrow better by worrying about it. You'll make today worse by worrying about tomorrow. And so worry steals your life. Number two, the Word of God says this. Jesus says, worry suffocates your trust. Worry suffocates your trust. Now, continuing on in this text, Jesus uses two different examples of how we can trust God to take care of us because He takes care of all of His creatures. And when we worry, we suffocate, we snuff out the trust that God wants us to place in Him. Look in verse 24. The first example that Jesus gives is the ravens. He says, consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And so Jesus talks about how God takes care of the birds, and specifically He mentions the raven. Well, the raven was, in those days, the Jewish people considered the raven a dirty bird. I mean, they didn't have anything to do with ravens. They wouldn't touch a raven. They wouldn't eat a raven because a raven ate all kinds of trash. It ate waste. It ate trash. It ate the carcasses of dead animals. And the raven was known to be an irresponsible bird. A raven would fly away from its nest and leave its young behind and never return. And yet, even with those dirty birds, the Bible says God takes care of the ravens. He feeds them. And notice what He says at the end of that verse. He says, of how much more value are you than the birds? God feeds all the birds. You can trust Him to take care of you. I began to think about it this week, and I just started sort of researching, how much would it take to feed all of the birds on planet Earth? And so I began to research, and I found out that National Geographic has estimated that there are between 50 billion and 430 billion birds on Earth, between 50 billion and 430 billion. Now, that's a wide range, but it's hard to count birds because they fly around all the time. So it could be 50 billion. This is National Geographic. 50 billion or 430 billion. We'll take the lowest number. We'll take 50 billion. And so a wild bird, like a 1.4-ounce sparrow, will eat about one-third of its body weight each day. So in a day, a sparrow would eat around 0.4 ounce of food. Now, that doesn't sound like much, but you multiply that times 50 billion and you get 1,250 million pounds of food needed to feed all of the birds each day. Well, how much would it cost to feed those birds? Well, I looked that up. A 20-pound bag of wild bird seed costs $9.12 at Walmart. Now, you may be able to beat that price. That was the lowest price I found. $9.12 for a 20-pound bag of wild bird seed
at Walmart. That means that you'd have to buy 62,500,000 of those bags each day just to feed all the birds. That would cost you $570 million a day, which would be an annual cost of $208,050,000,000 each year. That's how much it costs to feed the birds just for 1 year. So who can do that? Well, let's turn to the richest man on earth. Elon Musk is the CEO of Tesla. He's the richest man on earth. He has a net worth of $223 billion. It cost $208 billion, $50 million each year to feed the birds. That means that Elon Musk could feed all of the birds on earth for 391 days before he ran out of money. He could do it for a year and almost a month. And then he'd have to call up another billionaire to help him. And that billionaire, the next one, would run out before that year was over. These guys want to save the planet. They can't even feed the birds. But I want to remind you of something. God feeds them every day, every year, without fail, and he never runs out. And here's what Jesus is saying. God feeds those birds every day, over and over and over again. You can trust him to take care of you because you're of much more value to him than those birds. So he uses that example. Then he uses another example. Look in verses 27 and 28. Jesus says, consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. One wildflower, one lily. He says, consider those lilies. They don't knit their own clothing. They don't worry about what they're going to wear. He said, yet even Solomon in all of his glory, Solomon was the wealthiest and the wisest king of all of the earth. In 2 Chronicles chapter 9, the Bible says that he was the wealthiest and the wisest king. And then it describes Solomon in all his glory, because that's what Jesus says. Even Solomon in all his glory, this great king of Israel, when he was in all of his glory, the Bible describes him in his palace in the forest of Lebanon. And Solomon sat on an ivory throne. And as if ivory weren't enough, they took that ivory throne and covered the entire throne with solid gold. He had a footstool that was also made out of solid gold. He sat on a platform that was 6 steps higher than the rest of his palace. On each one of those steps, to the left and to the right, there was a statue of a lion on each step, to the left and to the right, each lion also made out of gold. And then he put his elbows up on armrests that were also the forms of lions that were also made out of gold. And then there were 200 large shields made out of solid gold that surrounded his palace, and then 300 smaller shields also made out of solid gold. The Bible says that in those days, in Solomon's kingdom, silver was counted as nothing. All of his cups were made out of gold. All of his utensils were made out of gold. All of his plates were made out of gold. If you brought him silver, he said, I don't want to see silver. I want gold. That's how wealthy Solomon was. Think about him sitting there surrounded by gold in all of his splendor. Here's what Jesus says. One wildflower has more glory than that. God clothes one wildflower with more beauty and glory than Solomon in all of his splendor. Verse 28, but if God so clothes the grass, the wildflowers, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little, what's the last word? Faith. I remind you of my point. Worry suffocates your trust. Worry suffocates your faith and your trust in God. Because when you worry about the concerns of your life, you're basically saying to God, God, as far as I can see, it all depends on me. It all depends on me. I am my only hope. And God, I know that you feed the birds every day, and something that no human being could do, you do it. And God, I know that you take care of the wildflowers and you give them a greater beauty than even the richest man on earth would have had. But God, I'm not sure that you can take care of me. God says that when you do that, you are suffocating the faith and the trust that he wants you to place in him in your life. And may I remind you of something? God takes care of the birds of the air, and God takes care of the lilies of the field because they are part of his creation. But you're not just part of his creation. If you've been saved, you belong to him not only by creation, you belong to him by redemption. He not only made you, but he purchased you at the price of the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, who died in your place for your sins on the cross. And because you belong to him by creation and redemption, he will not fail to take care of you. If you trust God with your eternity, you can trust him with your tomorrow. If you trust God to pay for your sins, you can trust him to provide for your needs. If you trust God to give you eternal life, you can trust him to take care of you in this life. And so Jesus says, don't worry, because worry suffocates your trust. Number three, Jesus says this: don't worry because worry squanders your time. Worry squanders your time. Look back in verse 25 of this text. In verses 25 and 26, Jesus says this: and which of you by being anxious, which of you by worrying, can add a single hour to his span of life? Literally in the Greek text, Jesus says, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his span of life? Now, a cubit was the distance between a man's elbow and the tip of his finger, about 18 inches. So when Jesus said, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his span of life, there are two things he could have meant. He could have meant, if a guy really got worried about his height and worried and worried and worried and worried and wanted to be taller, worried because he just wanted to be taller, could he worry himself 18 inches taller? You tell me the answer. No. Or he could have meant this: on the journey of your life, can you worry the length of your life even 18 inches longer? And the answer is no. You're not going to make your life longer by worrying. Would you agree with me on that? Would you agree with me on this? You're likely to make your life shorter by worrying. And you will certainly make your life less joyful, less peaceful, less meaningful by worrying. So Jesus says worry squanders your time. Worry just wastes your time. When worry gets out of control, it can cause all kinds of negative physical responses in us. It can cause difficulty in swallowing, dizziness, a fast heartbeat, fatigue, headaches, the inability to concentrate, irritability, muscle tension, shortness of breath, sweating, trembling, and twitching, short-term memory loss, even heart attack. All of those things come by worry. There's not one person in this room with a testimony about the positive power of worry in your life. There's not one of you who would say, you know, I had this problem and I worried about it, and I lost sleep over it, and I was irritable with everybody at home about it, I was distracted all the time, and my blood pressure went up, and everything worked out because I worried. There's not one person here with that kind of testimony. But there are many of us who would say, I had a problem and I brought it to the Lord, and I prayed about it, and God answered my prayer. Worry squanders your time. That's why God tells us to take the things we worry about and bring them to the Lord in prayer. Take your Bibles and turn just a few pages over in your New Testament to the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. I want you to look at these verses, and I want you to mark these verses, because I hope that this week you'll make these two verses part of your prayer time before the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. And there Peter writes this: humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties, all your worries, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Now, I want you to notice something. The command here is humble yourself. Can I just stop for a moment and remind you, or maybe let you know if you haven't thought about it before? Worry is an expression of pride. When I worry about something, that shows pride in my heart. When I worry about something, I say, it all depends on me. I am my only hope. I've got to work this out. And all of those things are I-centered statements that reveal a heart of pride. That's why the Bible begins by telling us in these verses, humble yourself. Begin to realize it doesn't all depend on you. You are not your only hope. You're not the only one who can do anything about this. Only Jesus Christ can step into your situation and bring you hope. So humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And then here's what the Bible says to do. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Here's what I would challenge you to do, and I've written this right underneath these verses in my Bible. In your prayer time this week, I would challenge you to do three things with these verses. First of all, just confess before the Lord the thing that you've been worried about. Just ask yourself what you've been worried about, and you may want to write it down on the list. Confess the things to God that you're struggling with. You say he already knows. I know he already knows, but you need to articulate it. Confess the thing, and it just means agree with God. This is what I've been struggling with, and just write it out somewhere. Number two, cast that care on the Lord. And you may want to say it out loud. Say, Lord, I'm worried about this situation with my marriage. I'm giving this to you. Lord, I'm worried about my finances here. I'm giving it to you. Lord, we're struggling with our kids. I give this to you. Lord, I'm experiencing this stress at work. I'm giving this to you. Lord, I'm having this emotion because of what's happening in the world around me, and I'm giving this to you. Cast it on the Lord. Confess what you're struggling with. Cast it on the Lord. And then number three, leave it in his hands. And this is the hardest part. Brothers and sisters, I'll tell you something. This is not a passive thing. This is not just taking your hands off the wheel. This is a hard thing to do that requires intention and faith on your part. Say, Lord, here's the thing I'm struggling with. I'm casting it on you, and I'm leaving it with you. I'll tell you another story from the life of Corrie Ten Boom. She told about someone who came to her and said something to her. She said, someone said to me, when I worry, I go to the mirror and say to myself, this tremendous thing which is worrying me is beyond a solution. And she said, and then I say, it is especially too hard for Jesus Christ to handle. She said, I just look myself in the mirror and I say, this thing that I'm worrying about is beyond any solution, and it's especially too hard for Jesus Christ to handle. She said, when I say that, first of all, I laugh at myself. And then I'm ashamed of myself for thinking that there's anything too hard for Jesus to handle. There's nothing in your life that is beyond his ability to step in and to take care of it. And so Jesus says, which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as this, if you can't make 18 inches worth of difference, why are you anxious about all the rest? Worry squanders your time. A fourth reason that Jesus tells us not to worry. Number four, Jesus says worry sidetracks your purpose. Worry sidetracks your purpose. Now I want you to look in verses 29, 30, and 31 of chapter 12 of Luke. And there Jesus, three times in these verses, uses the word seek. The word seek means to hunt after something. It means to make something your purpose. Here's what he says. Do not seek, do not make it your purpose what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. for all the nations of the world, lost people. That's what he's talking about, heathen people, people who don't know the Lord. For all the nations of the world seek, make it their purpose, after these things. And your Father knows that you need them. The issue isn't that you don't need these things. The issue is God knows that you need them, and he'll take care of you. So here's what God's plan is for you. Here's his purpose. Look in verse 31. Instead, seek, make it your purpose. Seek his kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. Worry sidetracks us from our purpose. Worry fools us into thinking that what we eat and what we drink and what we wear and what's going to happen next and what's going to go on with our family and the what ifs and the next things and all those things, we start thinking that's what life is all about. It's not. Life is all about seeking God's kingdom. Seeking God's kingdom means saying, Lord, I want you to be master of every part of my life. Lord, I want every part of who I am to glorify you. Lord, I want to trust you and look to you for every day, every moment. I am depending totally on you. Seek his kingdom. And notice what the Bible says. All these things, what things? The things you've been worried about. All these things will be added to you. He'll take care of all those needs. In fact, it's his pleasure to do that. Verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And so as you begin to trust him and to seek his kingdom, he gives you his kingdom and he gives you all the things you need for this life. As a result, you can live your life with open hands. Sell your possessions, verse 33. Give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Listen, God has given you eternal life as a believer. Therefore, you should live with eternal values as a believer. God has promised you heaven, and so you can live with heavenly values, and you can pursue his kingdom with all that you are. A man was going through an airport, and he was in a hurry. He was worried and he was nervous. He thought he was going to miss his plane. And he was running past people and really irritated if anybody was getting in his way and looking at his watch and stressed out and everything else. And he's just running through this airport trying to make his way to his gate because he doesn't want to miss his flight. And as this guy is running, he runs past an airline pilot. And the pilot just sort of stops him for a moment. He says, hey, where are you in such a hurry to? He said, well, I'm trying to get to my gate. And he said, I'm trying to get on this gate, to get on this flight, to go to this city. Flight leaves at this time. And the pilot in his uniform said, yeah, I'm the pilot for that flight. He said, don't worry, you're going to be on time. Just walk with me. If the pilot's not worried, you don't need to be worried. You just need to walk with him. And if the pilot of your life, and you know he's not worried, he's got everything under control, you don't need to be worried. You simply need to walk with him. Seek his kingdom. Make that your priority. And when you do, he'll take care of all those things that you've been worried about. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes as we pray.